From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. Idul Adha identically mirrors the sacrifice and sincerity of all Muslims, especially amid the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to Vice President Ma'ruf Amin. The Indonesian Vice President noted in Jakarta on Tuesday, in keeping with the practice of kurban, Muslims are ordered to sacrifice cattle, such as cow, sheep, or camels, as mentioned in the Holy Quran. The Vice President called on Muslims that are financially capable of fulfilling religious orders pertaining to sacrificing cattle and sharing the meat among others, while adding that the sacrificial spirit must be bolstered through sincerity, as was taught by Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail. During the enforcement of Emergency Public Activity Restrictions, or PPKM, in a bid to curb the COVID-19 transmission rate currently, the Vice President urged the slaughtering of sacrificial cattle be conducted at slaughterhouses. Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Sharif Hasan, assessed the Idul Adha celebration is a momentum to introspect on sacrifices to the nation, state, and religion. Sharif Hasan, in his statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, said Idul Adha 1442 Hijriah should be welcomed with joy, even though it is celebrated in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. He hopes that Idul Adha 1443 Hijriah will be a momentum to give the best sacrifices so the Indonesian people in fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. He further said Idul Adha is a momentum for collective sacrifice by doing religious activities with strict health protocols, sacrificing property through slaughtering sacrificial animals. The Japanese government provided 2,800 oxygen concentrators with oxygen to the Indonesian government. This was conveyed by the Japanese ambassador to Indonesia, Kenji Kanasugi, through his social network on Tuesday. Ambassador Kenji said the Japanese government will continue to assist Indonesia in overcoming the COVID-19 pandemic. This includes sending around 2 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine assistance. The vaccine assistance will be delivered at the end of this month. Japan will continue to support Indonesia's efforts to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic through various assistance, including around 2 million doses of vaccine that have been delivered this month. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin said he will revoke the ministerial regulation concerning paid COVID-19 vaccination. Minister Budi said he cannot immediately revoke the ministerial regulation after it has been declared cancelled. Provisions concerning vaccination was previously regulated in Health Minister Regulation No. 84 of 2020, which guarantees that COVID-19 vaccine recipients will not be asked for payment. Later, the regulation was amended by Health Minister Regulation No. 10 of 2021, which states that legal entities or businesses can organize vaccination for individuals. However, the amendment regulation was further amended by Health Minister Regulation No. 19 of 2021, in which one of the articles states that calls for individual COVID-19 vaccination will be subjected to the respective individual. The latest regulation was later protested by many public elements, including health experts and civilians. Now we move to the international news. China has slammed groundless claims that it carried out a major cyber attack against tech giant Microsoft. A group of Western countries had accused China of hacking Microsoft Exchange, a popular email platform used by companies worldwide. The joint statement accused the Chinese Ministry of State Security of undermining global stability and security. On Monday, New Zealand joined the group of countries, including the UK, US and Australia, in blaming China state-sponsored actors for malicious cyber activity in the country, including the Microsoft attack. The Chinese embassy in Wellington called the accusations groundless and irresponsible. The Chinese embassy in Australia echoed these remarks, describing Washington as the world champion of malicious cyber attacks. The Taliban, a terrorist group banned in Russia, have no desire to establish peace in Afghanistan, President Ashraf Ghani said on Tuesday. On Sunday, the Afghan government and the Taliban concluded two-day talks in the Qatari capital of Doha. They failed to agree on a short-term ceasefire during the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Adha or the release of prisoners. According to Ghani, he has been working on an urgent and practical security plan to resolve the current issues, and people's firm stance in the next 3-6 months will change the situation. Afghanistan is seeing a spike in violence from the Taliban as foreign troops are gradually being withdrawn from the country. The troop withdrawal was one of the points of agreement that the Taliban and the United States reached in Doha in February last year. We end the news with all 301 members of the anti-piracy Chonghe unit struck by an extensive COVID-19 outbreak arrived in South Korea on Tuesday. The Ministry of National Defense said a KC-330 Cygnus multi-role aerial tanker carrying 160 sailors of the destroyer Munmu the Great landed at Seoul Air Base in Songham, Gyeonggi Province at around 5:30 p.m. Another military aircraft transporting the remaining 141 sailors also arrived shortly thereafter. 247 of the 301 members, or 82% of the Chonghae Unit's 34th contingent, had tested positive in the country's biggest cluster among service members. The Defense Ministry said 14 of the sailors, including 3 with moderate symptoms, will be transferred to medical institutions. Those who test negative to a PCR test will be moved to a quarantine facility within the military. Well, listener, that was the news.
Afghanistan is still not safe. The solemn situation of the Eid al-Adha prayer on Tuesday, July 20th in Kabul was disturbed by a rocket attack. As the president of Afghanistan and other members of the congregation were performing Eid al-Adha prayers in the presidential palace premises, a rocket exploded very close to the site. Even so, President Ashraf Ghani, a number of ministers and other state officials continued to complete the Eid al-Adha prayers. Since the start of the withdrawal of US and NATO troops from Afghanistan some time ago, security in the country has not shown any signs of creating a conducive situation. The Taliban militia is said to have controlled more than 200 districts. Most of them are in the north, which is a stronghold of the Taliban insurgency. However, Taliban refused to take responsibility for the rocket attack on Tuesday. Taliban spokesman Suhail Shaheen denied that it carried out the rocket attack and insisted they were sticking to the ceasefire agreement on the Eid al-Adha celebration. The Taliban said the attack was carried out by the Khorasan ISIS group. Of the three rockets fired last Tuesday, only one was aimed near the presidential palace. The ISIS group in Afghanistan has claimed responsibility for the rocket attack. The mentions of the ISIS group tarnishing the solemnity of the Eid al-Adha prayer in Kabul and its surrounding may indicate that the security situation in Afghanistan is increasingly worrying. If the Taliban's accusation is true that Khorasan's ISIS group carried out the attack, then condition in Afghanistan will really depend on the government and the Taliban themselves. If the two agree to make peace and negotiate for a better Afghanistan, then the intervention of outsiders such as ISIS will be overcome together. On the other hand, the United States and the European Union, after the withdrawal of troops, do not seem to intend to play a role in Afghanistan anymore. The ISIS group's interference can actually be overcome through reconciliation between the government and the Taliban. Therefore, the ceasefire that was carried out during Eid al-Adha should be continued. Those efforts to take an approach to resolve the civil war can be started. Reaching an agreement to bring peace and harmony in Afghanistan really depends on the will of both parties. If the internal situation cannot be controlled, it is very likely that foreign influence will have an interest in Afghanistan. If that happens, the dream of the Afghan people to achieve a peaceful and secure situation will remain difficult to realize.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on July 21, 1954, about the cessation of war in Indochina between France and Vietnam. The treaty to stop the war between France and Vietnam was signed on July 21, 1954, at the end of the Geneva Conference, which was also attended by representatives from the United States, Britain, China, and the Soviet Union. The Geneva Convention divided Vietnam into two zones, North Vietnam and South Vietnam. This division of territory later triggered a prolonged civil war after the French left Vietnam. Moving on to an event on July 21, 1960, when Sirimavo Bandaranaike was sworn in as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. She is the first woman in the world to become a non-hereditary female Prime Minister and Head of State. The murder of her husband, Prime Minister Soliman Dias Bandaranaike, made Sirimavo, who used to be a housewife, enter politics until she was elected as Prime Minister. Bandaranaike was re-elected as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka in 1970 and 1994. We end today in history with an event on July 21, 1983 about the lowest temperature in history. The lowest natural temperature ever recorded directly on Earth was minus 89.2 degrees Celsius at the Soviet Vostok Station in Antarctica on July 21, 1983, with ground surface temperature measurements. On August 10, 2010, satellite observation showed the ground surface temperature was -93.2 degrees Celsius. However, this value was not listed as the lowest temperature record because it was measured by remote sensing from a satellite, not with a ground thermometer, unlike the 1983 record. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian government added the list of government aids for the people affected by the emergency restrictions or PPKM Darurat. With additional aid, it will need more budget, up to 39.19 trillion rupiahs. Therefore, the budget for national economic recovery rose to 744.75 trillion from 699.43 trillion rupiahs. Government will also extend the staple food card or Kartu Sembako for 2 months, namely in July and August 2021. It means the staple food card recipient will receive additional funds for 14-month period 2021, worth 200,000 rupiahs per month. This program targets 18.8 million families or around 75.2 million people. Government will also give bulk rice aid for around 10 kg per family for the staple food card recipient and the social cash transfers or BST recipients. There will be 5.9 million additional BST family recipients as a follow-up of regional government's recommendations. This program targets the people who are not registered yet as staple food card and BST recipients. The aid will be given 6 monthly, with 200,000 rupiahs each month. Government also extended the electricity discount until December 2021. The stimuli given until the end of 2021 include electricity tariff discount and subscription fee waive. Besides that, the government added more government aid in the form of pre-employment card program fund. There will be 2.8 million new pre-employment card recipients, making it 8.4 million recipients in total. This program will be synergized with the wage aid plan. The Indonesian government also continued the social cash transfer program for 10 million families or some 14 million people. The May until June aid will be paid in July. The government also extended the internet data subsidy until December. It targets 38.1 million students, teachers, and lecturers. Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment, as well as Emergency Restrictions Coordinator Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, in a press conference on Saturday said the government's aid list is added as the follow-up of emergency restrictions.
Sejak kau ada di dunia, aku tak menyangka. Tapi aku percaya, dan waktu terus berlalu.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Mountain peak tourism parks are trending in Samarinda, the capital of East Kalimantan, one of which is Mount Lonceng Tourism. The new tourism destination is located at Mount Lonceng on Jalan Dwi Kora, Mangku Palas, Samarinda, Seberang. The area of Mount Lonceng Tourism is about 4.5 hectares. It's not a completed access to this tourism location. From the main road to Mount Lonceng, tour is about 500 meters. The parking area is quite large. You can pay a parking fee per vehicles of 3,000 rupiah. Entering the tourism area is charged 5,000 rupiah per person. Besides having a beautiful view, Mount Lonceng has historical value. During the colonial period, this mountain was used as a place for indigenous fighters to spy on immigrants, either enemies or the arrival of merchant ships entering Samarinda via the Mahakam River. On top of this mountain is placed a very large bell. The bell will ring as a signal. This big bell is what makes the local people call it the Lonceng or Bell Mountain. Mount Lonceng Tourism has been open to the public since February 2020. Before becoming a tourism spot, Mount Lonceng was a stretch of land with various types of plants and where various telecommunication transmitters and television stations were built. Previously, there were two local youth who wanted to turn this mountain area into an agricultural area, but they were unsuccessful. Then both of them show the potential of the mountain to become an interesting area to see natural charm with the background of Samarinda City and the Mahakam River. Finally, they made the Mount Lonceng area as a tourism spot via Instagrammable. To add to the attraction for taking selfies at Mount Lonceng, 5 facilities have been built in the shape of a boat, giant hands, giant birds' nests, swings, heart-shaped symbols, and giant arrows. On weekends, 1,000 until 1,500 visitors come to visit. Even though it is crowded with tourists, during the pandemic, health protocols are still applied. Visitors who enter the Lonceng Mountain Tourism Area must wear masks. In addition to being crowded in the morning until noon, Mount Lonceng tourism is also crowded in the afternoon and evening because at night tourists can see the sparkling lights and the beauty of Samarinda City. That's Indonesian wonder.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu, tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa
ternyata sesungguhnya
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is about transportasi, which means transportation. So stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Sambil Menunggu, which means while waiting. This dialogue is between Kevin and Mila at Transjakarta bus stop. They are waiting for Transjakarta bus. Let's listen to the conversation.
Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman yuk.
Ayo.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Sambil, which means while. Bus, which means bus. Menunggu, which means waiting. Datang, which means come. Beli, which means buy. Minuman, which means drink. Yuk, which means let's go. Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman dulu yuk. Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman dulu yuk. Which means while waiting for the bus to come, let's buy some drink. In the dialogue, you hear Kevin say, Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman yuk. Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman yuk. Which means, while waiting for the bus to come, let's buy some drink. In the sentence, there is a conjunction sambil, which means while. It is used to show two activities happening at the same time. In the dialogue context, Kevin and Mela are waiting for the bus. At the same time, Kevin asks Mela to do another activity, which is buying some drink. So, Kevin says, Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman yuk. Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman yuk. Which means, while waiting for the bus to come, let's buy some drink. Conjunction can be placed in the beginning or in the middle of the sentence before mentioning the activity. Let's listen to another form of sentence that mentions two activities at the same time. Kita beli minuman sambil menunggu bus datang yuk. Kita beli minuman sambil menunggu bus datang yuk. Which means, let's buy some drink while waiting for the bus to come. Yuk, which means, let's go. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Sambil menunggu bus datang, kita beli minuman yuk.
Ayo.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
dia berlalu meninggalkan semua.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, now I would like to present a song from West Java entitled Manuk Dadali. The song Manuk Dadali was composed by Sambas Mangundikarta, a broadcaster and songwriter. In Indonesian language, Manuk Dadali means Garuda bird. Indeed, the lyrics of the song tell about Garuda bird as a symbol of the Indonesian state. The lyrics also mention that Garuda bird can fly highly and bravely. It is respected by other birds. All the characteristics of Garuda bird reflect the characteristics of Indonesian people. Moreover, the lyrics of the song Manuk Dadali also describe the harmonious life of Indonesian people who love and defend one another. Well, listener, here is the song Manuk Dadali by Mae Nur Hayati. Happy listening!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Layangan puting nu nu ditatar di pulut ku tali gaib entong salempang mun kuring miang ditatar ditatar Sunda di pulutnya balik deui ka dieu. Ye masih percaya bulan teh lang layangan puting nu ditatar di pulut ku tali gaib entong salempang mun kuring miang ditatar ditatar Sunda di pulutnya balik deui ka dieu ye masing percaya bedil geus di peloran granat geus di sorendang ieu kuring arek miang jeung pasukan Siliwangi ka Jogja hijrah taat parentah bedil geus di peloran granat geus di sorendang ieu kuring arek miang jeung pasukan Siliwangi ka Jogja hijrah taat parentah
listener we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.